Welcome to How Can We Help, the advice comedy advice podcast, hosted by me, Mark Little, and you, Jackie Pirico.
That's me. I was really afraid about that move you just did off the top with the, yeah, because to me that was like, that might make you out of breath, and then the rest of the podcast is compromised.
Oh, I breathe from the diaphragm. I can talk and breathe in at the same time. I'm the Kenny G of podcasting.
Could he do that?
That's what they said.
Oh, yeah, circular breathing.
Circular breathing, yeah. When he was playing his trumpet, he could just go and go and go.
Trumpet?
What was it? Sax.
Surely it was sax. Trumpet with that hair? I remember having that CD because my dad had a really actually severe addiction to Columbia House Records.
Yeah.
So there was just CDs constantly being delivered to the house. And I remember that. I remember Kenny G coming along.
I remember Kenny G being like a punchline when I was in elementary school. He was a thing that you only knew about through punchlines.
Yeah,
it was like Fabio,
uh-huh.
Kenny G, and Dolly Parton's big bazoongas.
Separate from her. Everyone took her very seriously, but her big bazoongas were often a punchline.
Yeah.
And who else do we have here today?
Oh my gosh, we've got a very special guest, one of the hosts of the Evil Men podcast, which, incidentally, is Jackie's favorite comedy podcast, and I don't mind it.
What?
No, it's my favorite comedy podcast, and I don't know how Jackie feels.
It's my favorite. Oh, I don't really listen to many comedy podcasts, so like it is by default my favorite because it really virtually is the only comedy one I listen
compliment.
To.
Just take the compliment.
I only listen to boring, scary podcasts.
Work the compliment into a fine nub, and then hand it to him. It's James Hartnett.
Oh yeah, sorry, it's James Hartnett. Hi, James.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm huge fans of both of yours, obviously. So,
oh, thank you. That's good.
You know.
Somehow, jeez. With the only bait being the nub of a compliment Jackie gave you, we still caught a compliment of our own.
Yes, yeah, you know. Yeah. It's like a bit of a fly fishing. I put out a worm.
Yeah. Or any kind of fishing.
Uh-huh.
I really enjoyed the start, just observing. Uh-huh. I loved the bazunga talk. I also noticed them when I was younger on Dolly Parton.
You noticed her boobs?
Yes, absolutely.
And I don't even know that I noticed them. It was a
common thing to talk about.
It was a common thing to talk about. Yeah. I think before I ever saw a picture of
you'd
her.
You'd put like, sorry to interrupt you, put like dodgeballs up your shirt and go, hey, look, I'm Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
That's what they did.
It was really the, I don't know, the icon, like the iconography of big boobs were hers.
Yeah.
And she's had them since she was really young, those big boobs. Like she was always a curvy girl.
Wow.
But those are fakey wakies, right?
I think that she got even more boobs, yeah. But I think that she was always a curvy girl.
Oh, yeah. She found a lesser woman's boobs and inserted them into her own. Like Ursula taking voices from mermaids.
She absorbed them.
You know what? Yeah. If anyone wants to do that to me, I'd love for these puppies to go. I don't want them. I was telling you the other night.
You want to join Dolly Parton's garden of flat women?
Yeah, I would love to. The little seaweed people garden?
Yeah.
I would love to. I was saying the other night, I don't care about... I want my boobs gone because like they're doing nothing... I don't need them for anything, and to me, they're just ticking time bombs, just laying in wait to kill me.
Wow.
What's the point?
Well, that's interesting, because a lot of women want bigger ones.
Yeah, I want less.
And is that because why is that?
Because of my hypochondria. I'm afraid of breast cancer.
Okay.
What about milk?
But I don't think anyone's going to be needing that from me.
Okay, fair.
Oh, not having kids. What about MILF?
Oh, yeah. What about if you want to be a MILF?
Do you not intend to become a MILF?
I would have to still have that baby, though, if I wanted that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's
although,
true.
I never realized how close milk and MILF are related.
You don't know what makes a MILF. It's the baby is doing all the heavy lifting there.
I did see that, what do you call that, School of Rock song on what makes a MILF. Right, it's on the same album as Conjunction Junction and What's a Bill? It's what makes a meal.
You mean Schoolhouse Rock?
Schoolhouse Rock, that's right, sorry.
Yes, no, I don't think anyone needs milk or anything. And also, I didn't get breastfed as a baby. So if I even had a baby, out of spite, I would probably not breastfeed it because I'm like, well, if I didn't get it, you ain't
you
getting
ain't
it.
Getting it, kid. Mm.
But anyway, enough about me and my self-loathing about my boobs.
It's interesting. Like, I feel like it's just a unique position.
Right.
I've never heard it before from a gal. cut these things off, get rid of them.
Yeah, I just feel like they're just troublemakers at the end of the line. And then like then you have to, as like when you get to a certain age, you have to keep getting mammograms, and the stress of having to wait for your mammogram result. Like me and James understands this.
We've talked about.
Yeah, me and James are, both of us are very medically anxious.
Yes.
So, you know, oh, and okay. So speaking of which, I kind of have an update about myself this week.
Okay.
About anxiety and advice. So James, this is going to kill you to hear, but I went to the doctor last week or earlier this week. Or yeah, last week. Cause I had a sore throat and I thought I had strep throat and she's like feeling my glands. She's like, oh, let me just feel here. Oh, and you know how the doctor does under your neck and blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
And then she gets down to the bottom of my neck and she goes, oof. And I was like, what? And she's like, does that hurt when I push right there? I'm like, no. And she goes, really? I'm like, no, what? And she was like, your thyroid, there seems to be, there's something on it. I think that we should get an ultrasound on that. So I'm like, oh, great. So I'm dying then?
Yeah.
And she's like, and she was
what, do I have a boob on my neck?
Yeah. I've been wanting this neck boob off forever.
What's the point? Give it to Dolly.
So I think I got an ultrasound yesterday on my neck and I'm so scared. But she thought it was a nod, which can be common, but then, you know, every small percent of those could be cancerous, whatever. But anyways, the point of the story is I got the ultrasound yesterday. It's so scary. Have you ever had an ultrasound, James?
I did, yes.
On your belly?
Not that long ago. Yes.
Isn't it so scary? Could you see the screen?
Yes.
It's so fucking scary. Everything looks like cancer on the screen.
Yes.
It's,
and then
so,
you try to get a sense from the doc, from the person, like, so, anything weird in there?
And they cannot tell you.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I can't say anything.
Yeah, they can't. They're, by law, they can't say anything.
Mm.
And I'm like,
yeah, you just got to look for a tell.
Yeah, yeah, yes. You're like looking at their face. Exactly.
Yeah, you kind of try and steal a glimpse of the doctor while they're going.
And they keep clicking their keyboard to take pictures, and you're like, is that? Are you taking a picture of something bad? And it all looks scary. An ultrasound with no baby looks so fucking scary. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just all gray and black. Like, you need a baby in there to make it look okay.
Yeah.
Without a guy in there, it's so scary
looking.
It's
like when, yeah, it's like when you remove Garfield from a Garfield strip.
I love Garfield without Garfield.
Me too, but it's chaos.
It's chaos, it's and madness. It's sinister. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, so I got a call. I was thrift shopping today. I get a call. Dr. Smith. I'm like, my heart starts pounding.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. And was it the doctor that you went and saw?
Yeah. She has my results.
Oh, thank God.
To some random other doctor telling me that they suspect I'm ill with something else.
Hello, I'm Joanna Smith, PhD.
I'm an archaeologist, and we'd like you to come to Belize.
Yeah,
with
I
us.
Would love that.
We want you to go to Belize so we can dig in your backyard.
So nothing is wrong with my thyroid.
Yay!
Ding, 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 ding.
Wow! That's great. Oh my God, the most likely outcome came true.
Whatever. I was so scared this whole
I'm
for
with
like
you.
Days.
Anytime anything like that happens, I'm so stressed about it.
You just automatically think you're gonna die.
Yeah, and my stomach was—it's always a mess, but it was especially a mess for a long period. And I'm like, I guess I'm dying because why is it such a mess? And then it turned out, I think I just can't eat gluten now.
Right.
But I was convinced it was like something
like
horrible.
I had these crazy bumps on my stomach. Turns out they were just six perfect abs.
Yeah.
The doctors kept licking their lips and telling me, well done.
Yeah, I know. I also went in like, there was something on my penis that really worried me, but it turns out it's just part of the penis. It's just a huge penis.
Yeah, it's just, I thought I had this bump, but it turned out to be just extra perfect
shaft.
Yeah.
Did they have to ultrasound it?
Yeah.
They said it was an ultrasound, but it was actually just a real point and click camera. They kept telling me to work it, work it.
So James, your belly is better these days now that you're not eating gluten?
Yeah, I was, for like a year I was trying to figure it out.
Yes.
And eventually I tried, and I had sort of half tried, but I really committed to it, and it's much better.
Wow. Yay, we
and
love
I feel
to that.
Better.
Good.
What was the main gluten you had to cut out? Just toast in the morning?
You know what? It's in a lot of stuff that's annoying. Like, I mean, obviously pasta, bread, and then even in like soy sauce and stuff like that. But I've kind of got a handle on it. And I found out I can eat sourdough, which some people can do, and I can eat that, which is great because gluten-free bread sucks.
Sourdough's so
good.
Sourdough's the primo bread.
Yeah.
Could you make it yourself with that mother thing with the mutant amoeba?
I could teach you.
Really?
Yep.
Really?
Yep. Oh, sounds like a date.
I've still got an old mother in my fridge.
Ooh.
And sometimes I dress up as her when and I murder tenants. she's long dead. She's black. That is actually true. I killed a mother in my fridge, what do you call that? A yeast mother.
Yeah.
And a sourdough starter. Anyway,
I have to say I don't like that they call it mother.
Yeah, why is it mother? Because it's...
Oh, because it serves.
Is it serving mother?
Because it's serving sourdough bread. Serving flavor. Serving.
I don't like to mess around with that kind of stuff because I feel like I'm going to poison myself.
Yeah.
Oh, no. There's no way. There's no ingredients that it's going to poison you with. It's literally just flour and water.
But it's like fermenty.
Yeah, it's fermenty.
Fermenty can go wrong.
Fermenty can go wrong.
Like canning and stuff. I don't know. I'm scared of botulism.
That's pickling.
I'm scared
or
of
something.
Pickles.
But mother looks.
I'm freaked by pickles.
If mothers it develops like a gross coat or like a blackness, then yeah, you.
Yeah, that's
it
what
out.
I'm talking
but
about.
But otherwise, it just looks like it just looks normal.
A little mother.
Looks. It's just a little mother.
Okay, I'll do it.
It's like any other mother. You keep it in your fridge. And you pull it out once every 2 weeks to see how it's doing.
But the reason that I was saying that about the advice is because while I was worried about this thyroid thing all week,
yeah.
I heard, just coincidentally, a piece of advice from a philosopher,
ooh.
Seneca,
yeah.
who said...
Founder of Seneca College.
Yeah.
The founder himself. He cut the ribbon.
You brought me back for this.
He said, he who... Sexist.
Yeah.
He who worries before necessary worries more than necessary. Duh. And it's obvious. But
yep.
you know, so I was worrying about the thyroid thing and I didn't need to worry at all. And even if I did need to worry, I was just getting a pointless head start on the worrying before I knew what was what. But I can't help it, Seneca.
You know what helped me a little bit? During lockdowns, I was having like anxiety and not feeling good, and I had to almost say to myself, you're going to die at some point, so that is definitely going to happen. So you might as well just not think about it until you have, like,
the minute.
There's no point
happens.
Worrying, am I going to, because you are.
Right.
So maybe just try to not think too far ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Live in the
now. I
mean,
that's obvious also, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
I feel
good
like
advice.
Seneca's
good
getting
advice.
A lot of credit here, and I'm not getting any credit, even though I told you not to worry either. And
yeah,
maybe it's because I didn't do it in as poetic a way.
It wasn't poetic, and you aren't this like stone head and just shoulders like Seneca is.
Rude. I could be.
The only picture I've ever seen
I'm
of Seneca and
myself.
All those guys is they're just stone head and shoulders.
Yeah, that's what the Greeks looked like back then. They're all heads and shoulders.
But you, when I told you this advice earlier this week and you were like, yeah, I know, I already told you that.
Yeah.
You were like, oh yeah, I know Seneca, he's a Stoic. And I'm like, Mark's a brainiac.
No, I just know
really?
That one thing
but
about
why,
him.
But what is it? What I had to study some philosophy too for social sciences, but what is who are the Stoics and what makes them that?
Well, I don't know. Basically, all I know about the Stoics is like what we know about Stoicism, which is like a stiff upper lip, you know?
Okay.
It's like, don't get too emotional about every little thing.
Oh, okay. Seneca would hate me.
Yeah. Seneca would fucking take you to task.
Yeah.
Seneca feels
so
like
un-stoic.
A mansplainer.
Oh, yeah. He absolutely.
Can you imagine Seneca
Stoic.
At Seneca College dealing with modern college students in their safe spaces? He would absolutely go nuts.
Mr. Seneca, you didn't give us a trigger warning for this class. Oh, for the love of God.
And then Seneca goes, and steam comes out of his ear, and he goes,
Mark, any advice that you got this week that changed your life?
I got the advice that if you go to Niagara Falls, you have to go on the Maid of the Mist.
Oh, and did you?
I didn't. Oh. And, but then but here's the issue is because we had a show that night and we realized that our shoes would get soaked. Because what I thought was that thing just cruises around that boat down there under the falls and gets pretty close to the mist. What I didn't realize is it goes right into the frickin' mist.
What didn't you understand about of the mist?
I don't know.
Made of the mist, not made near the mist.
I'll tell you, there's so much mist, it didn't even feel like made of the mist. It felt like it was made of the mist.
Oh my, this is your new stand-up 10 minutes. Definitely.
It's made of the mist.
Who gave you the advice to go on Maid of the Mist?
Was it you?
Yeah, because I was supposed to go on that trip, but I didn't because I was sick and the thyroid stuff.
Mm. Yeah, buzz.
It's not even that expensive to go on Maid of the Mist, surprisingly, considering how expensive everything else is. It's only like $30.
Yeah, but it's free to look at Frankenstein eating a burger, and it's free to look at King Tut riffing with a snake, doing one-liners outside the Wax Museum. It's free to look at Joker in the Wax Museum, just the Joker.
Just the Joker?
He's in the window.
But who is he? Is it the newest one?
No, you better believe it's Heath.
It's Heath, okay. But that's funny that it's not, they haven't updated it to Joaquin.
Oh, is it funny? Or is it maybe, maybe it just speaks to the fact that Heath is legendary and Joaquin can walk away.
Into the ocean. Yeah,
Wait, I gotta know, you saw the Joker for free. What else did you do there during the day?
All I did was walk about for free. And then we just walked back up the street and checked out the storefronts and all the chaos.
Clifton Hill, yeah, that's like the main strip. It's the Sin City strip.
Niagara Falls, the city is, yeah, kind
it's
of...
It's rough. It's crazy.
Nasty ass.
It's nasty ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that the nice part of town is where Frankenstein eats the burger and the go-karts are. Ah, the go-karts in the nice part of town. And then you walk like two streets away and it's like, muggings.
Yeah.
Knife Point Central.
But think of what could be in that area. Like, I know it's so fun and kitschy, and like we always went as kids. Like we went every year, and we loved it, haunted houses and everything. But like, think about, I don't know, could be like a much cooler town.
I know.
The best thing I find is like when you think about Canadian stereotypes about America, how it's like, oh, they're all so tacky and trashy and box stores. And then you go to the falls and the American side is like two tasteful hotels and some stone steps down to the falls. It's so picturesque. And then the Canadian side is like, wow, Frankenstein, Frankenstein.
Yeah, but who comes over for that shit?
Yeah,
Americans.
The Americans love it. It's like dogs to the bone.
Yeah, but their falls are so bleak, really.
Their falls are, that no sucks. Offense, anybody listening there?
Yeah, no offense, but
yeah.
It's all the same falls. It's just a horseshoe.
No, that's
falls.
Not true. No. Okay. There's a Canadian side and an American side.
Yeah, but it's all, you're all visible.
Yeah, but their one is like, the one that's on their soil is like the bridal veil, and it's so like snooze
fest. It's nothing
to
write home about.
Ours is the gorgeous horseshoe all, and so much history, like the girl that went over that, and then the other girl that went in the barrel, and her cat went in black, and then they came out white. That's what the video says.
What did you say?
What?
Repeat all of that.
They have this video in one of the museums there in Niagara Falls with that lady. And it's like a reenactment or something. And like it shows her going in with the black cat and they get into the barrel. And then like they, I don't know. So, and then when she comes out, the cat is white.
Is that possible at all?
What, for a cat to turn white from fear? Stephen King would say yes.
Feels like a Looney Tunes thing. I mean, if that's true, that's
cool.
No,
I think it was just, you know, creative liberties.
Yeah.
But as a kid, I ate it up.
It says here that she got in the barrel with her lucky heart-shaped pillow and presumably her cat, and then they screwed down the lid. They used a bicycle tire pump to compress the air in the barrel. Then the hole for the pump was plugged with a cork. And I guess the barrel went over. In my mind, every time I pictured someone going over the falls in a barrel, I literally pictured them wearing the barrel with suspenders.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
So is it a fashion thing in your mind?
I don't know. I just pictured a barrel with suspenders and
you
someone hopping over.
You don't see that suspender barrel look anymore.
I know.
No,
what
that's
happened?
Why I think. I was like, well, that's how people used to use barrels. Wow.
But why was that ever a look? Like, they literally had no other clothing other than a barrel.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like that's more work and possibly a lot more expensive than just a shirt and shorts.
Yeah, or like a burlap sack, like a classic burlap sack.
Get a sack.
And like, it would be such a hard thing to get a good
fit with.
Imagine
going to the bathroom.
Oh my God. I'd probably write in.
Like, it'd be so.
Oh yeah, like women all complain about rompers.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine the complaints
in
this day and age if barrels came back into style. I bet there's women across this great nation of ours who are praying each night that barrels don't come into fashion and force their hand.
It would be amazing if at like comedy bar one night, some real fashion forward person came in with a barrel and suspenders present day.
Yeah, that would be great. Specifically a comedy bar.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the only place I go and drink if I'm or hang out with friends.
That's true. That is the only place I go to.
Here's the last thing I'm going to say about this Daredevil woman.
Mark is obsessed now.
I am obsessed. She died on April 29th, 1921, and was interred next to her friend and fellow Daredevil, Carlisle Graham, in the Stunter's Rest section of Oakwood Cemetery, Niagara Falls.
Stunter's Rest. You could have gone, if you would have known all this, you could have gone to Stunter's Rest.
Yeah, I would have had to go to the American side. You need your passport to visit Stunter's Rest.
Oh, it's on the American side?
Yeah.
Was she American?
Probably.
And she's going over our, Plain Jane Falls. I hope that she had to pay Canadian tax to do that.
If you die on our side of the falls and you're buried on our side of the falls, you get dug up by a mad doctor who uses electricity to bring you back to life, puts a burger in your hand, and then plants you on top of the Burger King.
No, he reanimates you, but makes you Canadian. Maybe you're Newfoundland, you know, you give you a Newfoundland accent.
I've heard of Frankenstein, but Dougie Stein?
Yeah.
We're meeting Dougie Stein down at Tim's.
And he kills a blind guy for his... fiddle.
Yeah. He killed Ashley McIsaac.
James, because yes. This is an advice podcast,
yes.
Do you have any kind of relationship or anything that pops to your mind about your experience with advice?
Yes. Well, when you mentioned like what's advice you got, you know, it's such a, because only doing this podcast, you know, once rather than weekly like you guys, I was trying to think like what's impactful advice I got ever, you know? And I did think of one when I was maybe 16. And you know when you first start to like people, mm-hmm. like romantically, crushes? Uh-huh. You know what I'm talking about, Mark, you know?
Hell yeah, brother.
Okay, you've had crushes.
Hell yeah, brother.
Really? Well, I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but when I first started liking girls, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't... You don't realize that you shouldn't just be really full on about that you like them.
Okay.
And I remember my friend Rory, shout out Rory. he told me, he gave me the advice to like, act like you, not that you don't want to be with them.
Sorry, is he the, this is no, the original no. The Game?
I shouldn't have said his name. Yeah. Not in a creepy way, just... contain your...
Right, right. Be cool, man.
Be cool about
his
it.
His nickname was Fedori.
Yeah. Basically, the advice of, like, try to be cool about it.
Right.
Because if you're really needy, it's a turnoff.
Yes.
Right.
And I found that to be really helpful advice when I was a teenager, and I didn't know that
at first. I love to picture James, though, young... baby James before getting this advice.
Oh, I mean,
what kind of like things would you do? Do you remember doing anything that was like so thirsty?
I just remember getting ICQ.
Uh-oh.
Oh yeah. And I liked this girl and I'd set it.
90s kids know.
Oh yeah. And I'd set it so that when she came on ICQ, you know, it would go, user is online. And it would tell you.
Oh yeah.
And
yes.
I just remember I like as soon as I see her on ICQ, I'd write, you know, and try really hard to be funny and write a long Aww. Thing. And, you know, obviously if you're sort of even lukewarm on me, it would be brutal to get this like, oh God, shut up.
Like the instant that you log on.
Yeah, and like trying really hard to write a you know.
Mm, that's cute.
I would pay so much money to get my paws on a one of those messages of James,
oh,
one of those
God.
Message compositions.
Hey, girl. So, Mr. Evans, hey, roll, eye roll. Yep, he's still at it.
Yes, 100%.
Best teacher in the world, not. Yeah. But I do know that you've like really played it cool in relationships since then. Like when you proposed to your now fiance.
Yes.
You did not come right out and ask.
No.
You really sort of... I would say it was the popped collar James Dean of proposals.
Yeah. I pretty much, I bought a ring and I left it in a really visible place in the apartment where I knew she'd see it, but I didn't mention anything about it for 2 years. And just to keep her on edge. And yeah.
Kept saying, can you move that for a second?
Yeah. And, you know, eventually kind of breaks the person's will. And, you know, they're getting married to you without even realizing it after a point.
So. Yeah.
That is playing it very
At a
cool.
certain point, they ask you.
Are you going to play cool at the altar, too? Like when they're like, oh, James, do you take this? And are you going to be like, I guess if that's like.
Yeah. Or maybe just a. Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you have any vows? Did you write your own vows? I mean. I could, if that's
if you
necessary.
Want me to.
Yeah.
Can I? I don't want to be nosy, and I don't want to be a spoiler alert myself. But are you guys writing your own vows? You're both writers.
You're both writers. You're both comedians. Oh,
I'm using ChatGPT.
Yet another job that ChatGPT is taking.
Yeah.
Our vows.
I wonder what it would... Anyway, I haven't, honestly haven't thought about it. But I'm sure we will. I mean, what else would we do, I guess?
You gotta do it. Exactly. That's the best part of a wedding. That's the part where I always cry.
What are the... So is that like when you go... So what is... It's not what the officiant says. It's what we say.
Yeah. Like yeah.
Ever since
me,
I saw
like,
you, baby.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That, yeah, that's like how that, mine
James.
Started.
I knew just like that, James. Continue from there.
They run you through the classics, right? In sickness and in health and
oh,
this and that.
Oh, yeah. Sickness
and then
and
I don't remember for mine if it was like before or after that. I think that they got that out of the way. And then they said, and the bride and groom today have composed some of their own personal vows that they'd like to read now.
Yeah.
And ours was very short and sweet, each of ours.
Yeah.
Right.
Mine, when I was married, I just, yeah, I, all my boys were there and it was cool. Uh-huh. So like I said some pretty from the heart stuff, but I did drop a few no homos in there.
Perfect.
Just to let the boys know that not to take it too seriously.
Yeah. That's smart. That's smart. It is kind of gay to get married.
It's so gay to
yeah,
pledge your I life could, to a woman.
Yeah.
And I hope my advice didn't sound creepy, but
it's great just advice.
But you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, because
no. when you don't know how to approach.
Yeah, because it's all new.
You don't know how to express to someone that you like them.
Yeah, so you just go.
You don't
like,
know how to do it.
It's true, and it's unfortunate, but it is true that we are all very needy people, and we want love, and we need love.
Mm.
But it almost in no circumstance can you, unless you're a baby, can you express that need nakedly?
That's
you
true.
Know?
Unless, or I guess you're super hot.
Yeah, but even then, it's like, I feel like you got to make someone want you. And unfortunately, all of us, I don't know, we're a little bit cats. We're a little bit aspirational
yes.
in our friendships, our relationships. And there's something about the chase.
People like to chase. Yes. Yes, you pursue that which recedes from you.
Yes. Yeah, 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 yeah.
James, that was also so poetic. Who are you, Seneca?
Oh, I guess.
You pursue that which, what did you
isn't
say?
Isn't it recedes from you?
Recedes from
yeah.
you. Oh, is that a real phrase?
No, he's just quoting a freaking men's hair plugs box. Are you ready to give some advice?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay.
Yes.
Here's the first question that we received from a listener. And if you listeners want advice on any problems in your lives, you can visit us on Instagram at How Can We Help Podcast or on Twitter at Same.
At same, okay.
Nice economy of words.
You saved a bit of time there.
Thank you.
Sorry, I should have been such a jackass.
Turn it up to 450.
I guess that
roasted.
Was worth saving those 2 seconds.
Question number one. This is a question for Mark and also for Jackie.
Perfect.
Years ago, that's perfect. That's everyone.
Perfect, we're both here.
You know what? James is going to weigh in too. Years ago, I was living in Australia with my ex. We were broken up at the time because we made better friends. It was mutual and we got along great. So I got an immigration letter saying I had to reapply, etc. And she was nagging on me to just deal with it. And I lied to her and said I did. And I forgot about it. Then I got a letter saying I had to leave in 24 hours and was deported. Anyways, she rightfully was super mad at me, but forgave me. But we've never seen each other in person since. Fast forward to now, over 15 years later.
Oh.
I'm married. She's married. We both have kids, etc. And I get an email saying she's coming to Toronto and wants to meet up. So we do. And it's fine. But then she brings up the whole thing and I laugh it off and say how stupid I was, but she gets super mad at me. So we talk things through, but the rest of the evening was super weird. So that's kind of bullshit, right?
That's a good advice. How to give advice on it.
They
is
really
that bullshit?
Stuck the question at the end there.
I'm really sorry, but could you repeat
the start?
I missed like what the bad thing she did was.
I don't know that she did anything bad. They were living... this person was living in Australia with their ex.
Yeah.
They made better friends, blah, blah, blah. And then this person, this writer, got an immigration letter.
But so they were broken up at the time that this happened?
Yes.
Already. Okay. Yeah. Just clarifying.
But
okay.
They were living together as pals.
Right.
Okay.
So this writer gets an immigration letter.
He doesn't take action.
Drags his feet.
We
are both
lies.
Assuming he, and I think that's
absolutely
accurate.
Absolutely, 100%. He lies and says he did the paperwork.
Presumably
and this affects
just,
him and his ex.
Yeah, presumably yeah. just to get her off his back, nagging him. He says, I've already done it with the intention of doing it, but then actually forgets
and gets
to
deported.
Do it.
And then the issue there then is that not only was he not upfront or like he was deceitful, but then he like kind of abandoned her there with no friend. And no, probably stuck her with rent too then.
Well, I do think it's not that bad a thing he did to her. Like, he didn't make her leave. He screwed himself over, not her.
The fact that they weren't in a romantic relationship,
yeah,
to me at that really makes it almost like, I don't want to be like, you know, a pick me girl and be like, she's a bitch. But like, yeah. But it, you know,
you say that often before you say exactly those words.
She, like, you know, this is, they're not under this contractual, you know, romantic relationship umbrella
anymore.
Yeah,
if your boyfriend did this.
Yeah, that would be really egregious. But I think that, like, okay, your friend's fucked up. He's an idiot. He may have stuck you with rent. You might have had to get a new roommate, like, last minute. That really does suck. But that's not 15 years of a grudge you come all the way across the other side of the world and have dinner and be like weird about it. Like, you can't laugh about it after 15
years. If I had a roommate and they were like, oh shit, I gotta leave, I wouldn't be mad at them for 15 years. I'd be like, yeah, I guess I'll get a new roommate.
Yes.
What if your roommate was your ex and you were really close and God knows what your ex is actually thinking about the whole thing?
Yeah, but why are you, I mean, you have to distance yourself from an ex at some point. You can't, yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah, like, you can remain friends. Oh, they're better as friends. Okay. But like, yeah, that's the kind of stuff that happens with friends sometimes, that kind of stupid stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. 15 years, my opinion is, I don't know. Okay, so his question is, that's bullshit, right?
Yeah.
So I do agree that it is kind of bullshit. I'd be like,
me too.
Like, if she wanted to talk about it, no problem, because they haven't been in the same room since it occurred. Okay, let's talk about it. Yeah, and he said that he kind of, you know, conceded to the fact that he was an idiot. And it was 15 years ago. He's probably a shithead, you know, a young adult in his 20s probably. And he sounds like he conceded to that fact. I think that she should have been able at that point to laugh it off and move on. If she, like, if the evening got weird and awkward after that, I agree. Bullshit.
I think if he screwed up and she had to get deported and she was still mad 15 years later,
that's
I would get it. But
yeah.
He did. I mean, he just was
screwed
himself.
He screwed himself over.
You played yourself.
This is a rare instance where the person writing the question is getting exactly what they want. They didn't really want advice. They just wanted us to pat them on the back and say, you're right.
Yeah.
And
but
we
I like
are.
That kind of advice, because that's the kind of advice that I love to get with my friends. Like, am I the asshole?
Right.
Like, am I the asshole?
Right.
It's a form of advice seeking.
Here's what you got to do. Now, you travel to Australia. You have a dinner with her and you find your own private little reason to stink it up. You become a stinker. And now you go back and forth until you fall in love again. And then you blend your families.
Wow, that's a long distance to blend. That's hard on the kids.
It's a big blend. You need a big blender.
Yeah. But Mark, do you think that's bullshit or what?
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how much they actually talked about it after it happened. But as an idiot who's been in relationships and like has sort of dragged his feet, in a sort of Tim Allen man way, where you're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do that thing, honey. And then it's like, oh, whoops. Classic man.
And you got three sons, and they all have a similar haircut.
Yeah, kind of a mullet, kind of like buzz on the sides.
You live in Detroit.
Like a goof troop kind of haircut.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. If I did something like that and then I never gave a true, great, big, huge apology and we never really resolved it and then I tried to like make a crack about it. I don't know. I can just see someone's life being thrown into upheaval by that.
Okay, you know what? Maybe she was still in love with him.
Well, that's kind of what I'm kind of figuring
I think
here.
It is fair to assume that, and she was probably really hurt because, yeah, those like we are better as friends relationships are tricky because there's probably at least one person in that's kind of like feels more than the other person does.
If you're going to roommate zone your ex-girlfriend, do not get deported.
That is a really good advice.
And yeah. That's good advice. I mean, I read that on a bumper sticker and it didn't really, I didn't know what it meant until now.
Maybe it worked well for them and no judgment or anything, but I can't imagine,
living
like imagine dating someone and they're like, yeah, I live with my ex. I'd be like, oh.
It's real Dharma Greg shit. Or no, wait.
Wait, they were together.
No, I'm talking about, what's the gay one?
Will and Grace. Yeah.
And I do say, what's the gay one?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Yeah. At the end of the day, he isn't even the gay one. He's not gay.
That's right. Erica McCormick.
Yeah.
And he kills it. He kills it as a gay. And that's why we got to bring back just letting people play whoever they want. And I don't just say that because I was cast.
Oh, what were you cast
in
as?
In the new Queer Eye for the Straight Guy season.
Yeah. Narrative series. Okay, so do we have any final advice for this person?
I've switched a little bit on my initial assessment because I didn't really put into, I didn't think about it hard enough about the fact that her hurt and her kind of like inability to move on from this event probably stems from the fact that she was holding a candle and was like hurt romantically, emotionally hurt by it.
Right.
So if he, as he said in his own words, laughed it off and said, I was an idiot. And if she's been like kind of hurt or her romantic life since this event has been informed by that and informed by her pain, then that would really hurt to see someone be like, oh, I was such an idiot, dumb kid, about something that like probably impacted her. So I'm no longer sure if it is bullshit or not.
Oh, wow. It might be bullshit,
but it might be his reaction to her wanting to talk it out face to face. That might be bullshit.
It might be that she's got some things she's not fully telling him.
Sorry to interrupt you, Mark. No. Were they still getting intimate?
Yeah, were they
still? Because if they were, then you are still kind of romantically involved, even if you don't have the label.
Exactly.
This is the best way to give advice.
James is an ally.
Is to infer as much as you can from very minimal text.
Yeah, they don't give us all.
And advise based on that.
Yeah, they don't give us all the details.
And you got to give us the details. Always. This goes for everyone writing from now on. If you're writing about someone else, are you intimate with them? We got to know that. Even if it doesn't apply to the question, we got to know who you're intimate with. Yeah. Even if it's not the person you're asking
and
about.
And you can write anonymously, but we need that person's name.
Yeah, you need to dox them or we'll dox you.
Yeah.
Question number two. Hi, Mark and Jackie. There's a cute outdoor cat in our neighborhood.
Oh boy, this is Jackie.
Oh, I also wanted to say this. I don't know why that last question was primarily addressed to me.
Yeah, well, because they were looking for, I think, the male perspective affirmation, I think.
And what they got was me. It was a real flipsy-do.
Yeah, because you're sensitive and we're flipping gender roles in this podcast. We're turning gender norms on their head.
That's right. We're like a really boring movie about a Shakespeare thing where all we do is make the girl a boy and then blow people's minds. Hi, Mark and Jackie. There's a very cute outdoor cat in our neighborhood who always comes to greet me and my boyfriend adorably. So we developed this beautiful, magical relationship.
I'm listening.
For example, she recognizes our voices, so she jumps and runs out to see us when she hears us.
Aww.
And then she follows us on our walk. Her owner is an old lady who has mobility issues and barely comes out. And then it's got the pukey face emoji. I'm kidding. I made that up. Just kidding. It's very nice.
My heart skipped a beat.
So my question is, how do we approach the old lady to politely ask her to leave the cat to us when she passes away?
Oh my goodness.
We barely know the lady. And from my observation, she has one or two sons. Thanks.
Oh, okay.
That's a big question.
That's a huge question. And it's this is such an emotionally charged and very sweet question.
Yes, it is sweet.
That's really sweet. I wonder.
I can give my take while if you need to.
Well, I already have one, but I would, because it's not going to really be her that decides because she'll be gone. It's a very assumptive thing to do, but I would probably try and track down the sons. I would try and track down one of her grown children and be like, hello, we are your mom's neighbors and we have developed. I would just tell them exactly what she told us. Because it sounds wonderful. It sounds like they...
But then you find out it's a succession situation, except the thing they want isn't a business. It's just that cat.
And they're like, yeah, we got to go turbo on that. We're going to go turbo on getting that cat. Are you with me?
Dad. Mom.
I'm trying to think of like succession lines, but they're all so wordy that I can't think of one.
Literally all I can think of is Kendall saying, Dad.
My Kendall impression is, I'm good. I'm good.
That's good?
That is
really
good.
Really good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And my other one is, does that sound good, Shiv? Is that good, Shiv?
James, that's really
that's
good.
Good.
That's Tom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so good.
Shiv.
Okay. I would track down the Suns and say, I would approach the Suns. I think that you would have a good chance. The Suns, because you know what? I've been, my family has been in this situation when my grandfather passed away, and this one cat that he had was a barn cat that was never socialized. This one cat that my grandfather had. The cat, its whole life was like, and you try and get near it, and it was like, ah! Like it was, I never in my life, I lived with this cat for like 5 years. I never pet this cat. It was so vicious. But then its brother that came from the same barn was a nice cat. I remember my cat, my papa getting these cats, these two white cats, and they were like, ah! And then I was like, where did you get these? Where did they come from, Papa? He goes, oh, they're from the top of the pile of a cat. That's what he said. I got them from the top of a pile of, they were the ones at the top of a pile of cats. Like, this was the cream that rose to the top, these cats. But anyway, wow. The one was really nice. Blue Eyes was his name. And Snowflake was vicious her whole life. Anyway, my papa passed away. And my dad's brother was kind of looking after the house, but he wasn't really living there, but he was sometimes living there, and he was kind of in and out. And like Blue Eyes had passed away, and then my Uncle Dave went into the basement. Snowflake is there. What's up? Like Snowflake was still there after like weeks. And like he didn't really even know that the cat was there. So this is all to say, it's very important to have these provisions in place, you know?
Oh, yeah.
By them approaching the brother or the brothers or like this woman's sons and telling them we would love to take this cat if when the time comes, that would be a mental load off of them because I'm sure that they don't want the cat or they probably already have pets.
Can I throw in? Oh, I was just going to say, yeah. If I may.
Yeah.
I agree with you, but I think they can't. I don't think you can frame it. When she dies,
when I
she
know. Dies like that. Tough. No, I think, but you don't have to say the word.
I think you've. I think maybe. What if you said, "Hey, we love this cat. Just wanted to let you know if you ever need like help with the cat or anything.
Right.
I know.
Okay.
I know she's getting older. Like if you ever need help or anything, just let us know."
James, yeah. 1,000%. You can. You can frame it like this.
Don't say die.
Oh, yeah. Hey, when's the old lady gonna croak so we can get our paws on that cat? Like, yeah, don't say that. Yeah. I would say. If there comes a time when your mother isn't able to look after the cat anymore, because that includes being dead and buried.
Yeah, throw a couple winks in there. And then sort of nod but towards the
I'm
nearest cemetery.
I'm not even sure if you should say if there comes a time.
Well, but because, yeah,
say,
well, it's
if
obviously...
if anything would happen to him, God forbid.
Or just say if your mother's ever not able, or if your mother ever is unable to look after the cat, or if they need help, or just like you said, you're just perfect.
Help, yeah.
If then we're around
ever,
because we love
and
her.
And you know, if she feels overwhelmed or her heart starts, I don't know, giving out.
I think you can lay the groundwork subtly.
Yes.
That you'd love to help with the cat and... We can't get enough time with her.
Yeah,
you know?
And you know
we
what? She could say that even to the lady herself.
Yes.
But although, I mean, I'm just putting myself in this woman's position, this older woman. And if I was like, you know, old and getting ancient, and then someone was like, hey, if you can't ever take care of, I would say, fuck off.
Yeah.
It's almost
I'm
like
obsessed
what I said
with Nutland.
It's almost
quit
like what I said about
me like buzzards.
Yeah.
It's almost like what I said about dating. You don't want to reveal the full extent of how much you
want
this cat.
Oh my God, you've got to play hard to get with a dying old woman if you want her cat.
Yes.
Anyways, what would you say to these people?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think you guys are giving good advice. I agree with James that you don't want to hammer on this lady's got one foot in the grave and another on a banana peel. Who gets the cat? I think it's a tough conversation. I think maybe having a few conversations with this old lady to introduce yourselves and ingratiate yourselves before you bring out the offer might help.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, you know,
but she's not outside. Like you'd have to, what are you going to do? Like go knock on her door and be like, hey lady, look, long story short, we're friends now. You know what I mean?
No,
she's
I'm
not
saying,
out and about.
I'm saying grease the wheels a little.
Yeah,
bring this old lady like a nice, bring her some cookies or
like
an oxygen
what about
tank.
A cat themed gift? I hope don't mean to bother you. We just talk to your cat all the time and we really love the cat. So here's a little
yeah, some treats or
something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Mm. Or, you know, it's a really good way to help.
And then she goes, oh, that's so sweet. Well, we love the cat, you know.
Yeah, we love her. We see her all the time.
We love the cat. We had a cat who looked just like her, and she passed away.
Yeah.
Not due to lack of care. We actually kept her alive for a lot longer than she would have. This is not going well.
In fact, euthanasia would have been a blessing in some ways. Anyway.
And then close the door and go, okay, next time, you talk.
I would say, and when you said cat-themed gift, that really set something off for me, because no one really is hard for an elderly person or a small person or whatever is litter, because litter's so heavy. Mm. I would go up with my husband, the guy, and say, like, you know, do you need him to go pick up litter or tins, cat food tins? Cat food, all that's heavy. So they could be like, you know, kind of helping out with that stuff.
And then she'd go,
that's a great point.
This is elder abuse.
I'm just imagining the old Nonas who live next to me trying to understand all these offers. The Nona who lived next to me, all she could do is point at the sky and indicate whether she liked it or didn't like
okay,
it.
And
but it was always a complaint. But when it was she liked it, it was a complaint with a laugh.
Okay.
But if she didn't like it,
I had a bad Nona interaction recently. I was eating an apple walking down the street, and it's biodegradable. I chucked it under a bush. Under a bush.
Okay.
And a Nona was on the fucking porch, and she yelled at me, "Hey!" And I was like, "Oh, sorry, it's just an apple." And she just really angrily looked at me. So I went and I grabbed it from under the bush and I took it on my way.
Awkward as hell.
I guess it's a bit shit to throw your apple, but it was like a core under a bush.
Yeah, there's a real two sides of that argument. She probably couldn't see from where she was. She just thought you was just, she probably thought you were eating a chocolate bar because you're a young man.
Or a beer can.
She's the guy with the gray beard walking down the street.
The roadie.
Yeah.
You
know, did she say hey, or did she say don't you do?
It might have been don't you do. I don't remember exactly. It could have easily been that.
Do you guys want to give some celebrity advice?
Oh, I'd love to.
Yes.
It's our final segment, James. And as you may or may not know, we have a wide range of celebrity fans and followers.
Okay.
And friends who need advice just as much as the regular Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a famous Joe is just as in need.
As a regular Joe.
As a regular Joe you meet on the street. So, dear Mark and Jackie, my cat is so fucking rude to me, it's nuts. I have a dog too, and he's cool, if a little stupid, but my cat is an actual piece of work. He just sits there rolling his eyes at me no matter what I say, and he's so lazy, and he eats all the time, but not cat food. Oh no, my precious cat wouldn't be caught dead eating the food that's for him. He insists on human food, pasta, lasagna to be exact, and financially, it's sucking me dry. I'm being eaten out of house and home by this dickhead orange cat, and do I get a thank you? No, I get side eye and snide remarks that sure, he's mostly thinking to himself, but I know what he's thinking. He doesn't go out of his way to hide it. He freaking hates me. Oh, another thing this cat hates? Mondays, which makes sense because he has a 9-to-5 job. Said no one ever. He's a cat. What the hell does Monday mean to him? Did I mention there's this other cat that I own? Maybe, I'm not sure, but he's around. And this one cat I hate is constantly trying to send him to Abu Dhabi. How does he know about Abu Dhabi? How is he so good with postage? How can he be so industrious and lazy at the same time? I'm going fucking crazy over here. And who am I going to talk to? My dog Odie? He's a moron. I named him Odie because he seems like he OD'd on stupid pills.
Oh, dear.
So just a funny guy.
Yeah, that is good.
I shouldn't be taking this out on Odie. He's okay. Anyway, how can I earn the respect of my cat? Signed, John.
Wow. Well, as always with these celebrity advice questions, I always learn something new just with the question. Was Garfield always trying to send Nurmal to Abu Dhabi?
Yes.
For someone who had so many Fat Cat 3-packs, I've never heard, I don't remember that at all.
Also, that was kind of before, I feel like, Abu Dhabi and the UAE
was
became,
in the kind of zeitgeist.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's quite a pull by Mr. Davis.
Yeah, I guess he went there maybe.
Maybe he did.
God knows what he was up to. I love this question. I kind of already know kind of instinctually where I land.
Please, tell
us. Is that even though you think you own your cat, you don't. Mm. I know they domesticated themselves, and I remind my cat that a lot when she's like, I don't want that style of tin. I don't want this or that. I'm like, well, you domesticated yourself, so I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, you played yourself.
Yeah, like they chose us. Cats chose us. So you can't, you know, your opinion about your cat's personality means nothing to the cat. The cat, you don't really own it at the end of the day. You're supplying it its food and shelter. But sorry, this is your cat you got. And also, I don't think that your personality is anything to write home about, if I'm being honest either.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I don't know about John going on a lot of dates or having human friends over.
Wet blanket.
He's not doing better than Garfield.
If you are relying entirely for your emotional and social system on a cat and a dog.
Well, that's nothing wrong with that.
Imagine a cartoon just about John.
Garfield without Garfield. Yeah. And we're back.
Oh, right.
Yeah. But actually imagine it. You know what you were saying? He's got nothing going on.
I know. You know what you were saying about cats? Like, we have two cats, and Evany, like you were saying, Evany's always like, well, they won't drink the water tin here. So I always have to, so she puts the water bowls like randomly on the floor and I'm bumping into it. I'm like,
uh-oh.
Like, cause you know, they, but when it's just me over, I'm like, I'm putting your water bowl where I want to put it, and you can just not drink if that's a problem. And eventually they drink it.
Right, right. Like, I know what you're saying.
I can't give
them
to them too much.
You can't indulge them so much.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Okay, you're not letting me put, you're making me put the water just in the middle of the floor where I step on it? No.
Yeah. The water everywhere.
I mean, that's a good point, James. It sounds like this guy's letting his cat get to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Set up some boundaries with your cat.
Yeah.
Don't give it lasagna. This cat's not going to the fridge.
No, I say give it lasagna.
You say, you disagree with that?
I give Nutlin so much chicken sausage. Like, Nutlin gets anything she wants, like, from my dinner. Like, Nutlin, I'm eating dinner, Nutlin's right there,
but
and Nutlin's, she can have anything she wants.
Nutlin's chill and Nutlin's nice. Like, what if Nutlin caused a fuss?
Oh, that's a good point. No, still, Nutlin could maim me and I would still give her chicken sausage.
To me, Garfield is like, yes, queen or king, whatever. Like, you have to, you know, praise, like, not praise, what's the word? Like, indulge and
kiss
spoil.
Like, kiss the ring, yeah.
He's lucky to be around.
Agree.
You think Garfield's should worship cool Garfield. And John's lucky.
Yeah, I do too. Because Garfield does have personality. He's his own guy. He knows himself.
Yes.
Right.
You know, this isn't often, but you know, you see a cat that you're kind of like, this cat doesn't really know himself.
I have a friend with a cat that I
spill.
Don't like.
Spill.
No, I can't. Come on. I'll tell you off air. I'll tell you.
Do I know this cat?
You probably do. Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about right now.
I love animals so much.
But this, I know who you're talking about. This cat that you're talking about has scared me before. This cat has waited for me outside of the bathroom. And I come out and I'm happy to see cats. But this cat looking at me like, I will fucking kill you. Yes. And this cat is so smart and strong.
Yes.
It basically has thumbs.
It's like a human.
It can open the fridge and every cupboard. It's so scary.
Yes. It eats garbage. It has little ears. It's got a big bushy tail. It hangs out with raccoons.
Oh.
I'm starting to put it together.
Mark.
Tis a raccoon.
This cat makes raccoons look like bunny rabbits.
Wow.
If that makes sense. So,
yes, wow. It does.
That sounds like an old jazz review. Wow. I am so shocked that the two of you are on Garfield's side.
You shouldn't be. We know cats.
That's true. You guys love cats.
Well,
and
I don't know about James loves cats.
I love animals generally. I love dogs too.
James said something to me once that really made me actually question how much we have in common. Because he was like, you know when like your cat wants to sit on your lap and you're just not in the mood? I'm like, no.
Okay. I hear you. But here's what, sorry for the digression. My cat is need, you know, K-N-E-A-D, need, a kneader.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be sitting there 20, 30 goddamn minutes, he's going, kneading me.
Honestly, you thought that might be what has cured your belly?
Oh, might have. And I mean, not to be disgusting, he doesn't know where he's kneading.
Oh,
he's kneading around the danger zone. And I'm like, get the fuck off of me,
dude. Yeah, because if you get hard, then that changes everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm like, I just need a break here. I feel like it's like when someone's like, you know, faking an orgasm. Let's just wrap it up. Like, I'm like, get it. Okay, Bruno.
Yeah. Like, the cat doesn't know what it's doing.
Wait, are you the one faking it in this?
I guess I'm
who's
faking it. I think I am.
Like, it really does sound like
Bruno,
what
we
you're
had a
saying
good session.
Is that your cat gives bad hand
jobs. Well,
yeah, that's what made me question what we had in common. Jack, you know when your cat's giving you a hand job and you're just not enjoying it, but you don't want to hurt their feelings? Well,
but he's learned. Now he needs weirdly on a blanket instead of on me.
Because it feels like mummy.
Right.
Oh, I
call it mummy moment.
I love when he sits on me. I love when he sits on me.
Yeah.
It's the like.
Oh, you didn't specify
deep, weird,
that it was.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
And like.
Because Bruno is very tender. Like he's like a mommy moment guy.
But imagine this. Imagine your cat never wanted, like not even like reluctant affection. Like your cat just sits there, judges you, literally rolls its eyes at you, eats you out of house and home, sends your other cat to Abu Dhabi, insults your dog, imperils your dog. Now, here's what I will say in Garfield's defense. Is that it does seem like a codependent relationship because I don't think John ever punishes Garfield.
You can't punish a cat.
But John simply goes and undoes Garfield's bad deeds. He takes it. John takes it. You have to set up boundaries with anyone, like James putting the water dish
right.
where he wants
okay.
to put it.
That
you
is
have
good
to
advice.
Set up boundaries. Like, you know what? If Garfield keeps eating your lasagna, stop buying lasagna.
Right, right.
Or you start eating cat food. Show him how good it is. You become the cat, and then
your
he
life
sleeps
becomes
in your bed.
Really good now. You're eating tin cat food for dinner.
I had know what I did once? I was like in a rush feeding Netland, and I was like spooning out her sloppy food into a tin out of the tin, and I was just in a rush to leave the house. And you know when you're like doing stuff, and then you just absentmindedly, if it's your own food, you like.
Oh,
like because
yeah,
it's on your
yeah,
finger
yeah,
and
yeah.
I accidentally did that and I was just like oh like it's so gross. And do you know what the grossest thing about wet cat food is? It's not that it tastes bad. It's the complete disparity between the texture and the lack of flavor. That's what's gross, because there's such a there's so lack of flavor because they don't have the same salt content and seasoning that human foods does, but the texture is so like I don't know, visceral.
Is
that you're
it
getting
like a
this
pate?
Texture and there's like barely enough flavor.
Oh, like a bland pate.
Yeah, like a bland, wet, like really, you know, like the texture.
Oh my God, you're making my mouth water.
Are you hungry?
Yeah. Just love a bland
pate. I don't know what to say, but I had a Garfield storybook that was quite haunting, and it was Garfield ate some lasagna and then had a dream because he ate too much lasagna, and he had this bad dream about a future dystopia where there's no more food and it's just pills that you eat that like are supposed to kind of taste like the food, and yeah. That was his like futuristic dystopian nightmare.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was a trip.
Am I crazy that my memories of reading Garfield, I'm like, oh, I feel like it was funny.
It was great. It's the best.
Nowadays, everyone wants to say it's not.
They do? I don't.
Yeah,
I'm not hearing
cool
that conversation.
But when I was young, I remember them being funny.
They're so funny. I loved. I was obsessed. Scholastic Book Orders. That's
yeah.
all I wanted was Fat Cat.
I remember
packs.
One panel was John being bored at the table, like, "Wow, fingers are really interesting, aren't they?" And then it cuts to Garfield, and he's like, "It's gonna be a long weekend." I'm like, it seems pretty funny to me.
Yeah, his timing is fantastic. Yeah. I love Garfield.
Well, there you have it. I want to read you guys. I just had to look because I have a Garfield mug at home that a friend got me.
Okay.
And I really love it. And it's Garfield in a cowboy hat. And the quote is, "When I die, I may not go to heaven. I don't know if they let cowboys in." Isn't
and
that
it's
so
Garfield?
Demented?
I don't know if
I've never heard that.
Isn't that so? Opposite of everything we think about Garfield.
Yeah, and I mean, why would God have this?
That's an off license. That's not a real Garfield merchandise.
It probably is off license.
It's not real.
Couldn't it at least be like, I don't know if they let cow cats in or
yeah,
something.
No, it's some joke.
Yeah.
It's got to have some joke to it. I don't know if they let cowboys into heaven. Garfield
what?
Says that.
Garfield is not concerned with the afterlife, first of all, and he's not a cowboy.
So yeah, I guess our advice to John is generally suck it up because you got a cool cat.
Yeah, suck it up, bitch.
He's
That's what I say.
Your cat's a lot cooler than you are,
yeah.
And you're lucky that he doesn't just get up and walk away.
It's Garfield's world. You're just living in it, and thank your lucky stars that he lets
yep.
you.
It's like when you have a partner who's lucky to be with their partner. Or sorry, when you have a friend who's lucky to be with their partner,
and they bitch
about
them,
and you're like, dude,
yeah.
you're lucky to be.
Dude, keep your
yeah.
mouth
just
shut.
Relax.
It's
yeah.
like if you have a partner who's lucky to be with their partner.
Yeah, I didn't mean
They're
that.
They're lucky to be with you.
Yeah.
That's what I say to
it's
my
like
girlfriend all
and
the
they
time.
Complain
I'm
about
like,
anything.
Dude, count your lucky stars that I'm still sleeping every night in this bed. But yeah, so you know what? It wasn't the turn I expected, but we came out pretty unanimously Team Garfield.
Yeah, who
yeah.
wouldn't?
And John, suck it up. And if you've got any young neighbors who come by asking when you're going to croak, don't be too rude to them. They're
yeah.
just trying to get their hands on Garf.
Uh-huh. And other than that, another perfect day of immaculate advice.
Wonderful advice. A lot of cat-themed advice tonight.
Yes, I really loved that. I really loved all that. That was really nourishing for me. Mm-hmm. And James, thank you so much for helping us advise
today. This was so fun. It's so great to be here. This was a great, really fun time.
Thanks, James. Yeah. You're such a wise friend, so we're lucky to have your advice. And everybody, I think that anyone who's listening to this podcast already listens to Evil Men. Yeah, but if there's one somehow that doesn't, you must listen to Evil Men. It's the best and funniest podcast. Listen to it on our same network, Sonar Network.
That's right. Sonar. You can also find James at Laugh Sabbath most weeks. Yeah. Thursdays at 9:30 p.m. That's at Comedy Bar.
Yeah.
And you've also got an album.
That's right. Get Bent, it's called.
Yeah.
Just more of James's classic rude comedy.
Yes.
And as always, get in touch with us and please send us your questions.
That's right.
And until then, we love you so much and so bad.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!